Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Today, we will be continuing our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom addresses each of these questions. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The Bible stands like a mountain, towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
Now, the scripture of which you inquired is found in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 11. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Now, folks, what you have to understand is this. Education does not equal understanding of spiritual things. Amos was a farmer. Gypsy Smith, an evangelist of yesteryear, could not read, but was used of God to call multitudes to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. The Sanhedrin, the most educated men of their day in Jerusalem, took note that the disciples, particularly John and Peter, were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, since I don't get to hear most pastors, I don't know what they say. But when I address pastoral students at various Christian colleges, and I speak at pastors' fellowship, I do encourage expository preaching. But it also calls for them to study. Recently, I spoke to a pastoral staff at one church and told them, You are a student of the Word the rest of your life. Not just a casual reader each day, but one who gets down into the Word and in prayer seeks to understand it. Now, funny you should mention it, but just a few weeks ago, a lady asked why did I quit. I needed to keep on going in the sermon that I was preaching. Now, of course, if you read sermons in the Bible, they're often less than an hour. However, Paul preached till midnight on one occasion. It's a shame that in this era of television, the general public lacks the ability to concentrate for more than 30 to 40 minutes. Changing images to grab their attention on TV, and at the same time it shortens the attention span. In the final analysis, the content is more important than the length of a sermon, and more important than the one delivering the sermon. For an example, we have a men's Bible study on Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. Now, since many of those men need to go on to work, they have to leave by 7 o'clock, if not earlier. So it is important that the length of the study stays within a certain time limit. So I hope this answers your questions. And may the Lord bless you as you seek His will and way. Those were questions that perhaps has popped up into some of our listeners' minds, and so I wanted to share those with you today and that answer. Okay, Brother Gary, would you give us the next question, please, sir?
How many of those in your church, even you, Pastor, have had a black family in their home, or one from the poorer community, a drug addict, a prostitute, etc.? What do the scriptures say about entertaining a stranger? I find that the brightest and the best of the bright, whether it is Washington University, Cambridge, and Vanderbilt, think of your church and most churches as a bunch of yapping, education-light Bible schools with little salt and light that's observable in neighborhoods or cultures. It's only talk. Read James, 1 John, 1 and 2 Peter, and you will find it's a lot more about doctrine that our doctrine is right and everybody else is wrong. If your doctrine is right, how would the neighborhoods around your church know if they didn't come within the four walls of your building?
Okay. Normally, I delete accusative, non-use of the Bible questions that are rants instead of inquiry. But I thought maybe some of the things that come up here are things that the folks in our radio audience have heard, and it's good for your edification. Now, the door-to-door visitation of which I told you earlier, and by the way, this was the second answer I'm giving him to an earlier email, because he wanted to know how the people around our church, if they even knew about us, and so I told him about our door-to-door visitation. And then he also had condemned in that earlier email 2- and 3-week mission trips, you know, for teenagers and others to go to a mission field. And he said that wasn't the real thing. And so he was writing condemning that. And so I had answered those questions in his earlier one. And again, normally I delete things like this that are not really seeking to know truth, that they just want to debate and argue, because I don't debate and I don't want to get into debate, because the Bible so condemns that, and it really shows the ones that try to get debate going are very carnal and at the very most a baby Christian. So as I move on with this, the door-to-door visitation of which I told you earlier is for the purpose of sharing the gospel with these folks at their house. If they don't want to hear it, then we leave a gospel track. I, too, am not a fan of the 2- to 3-week group from a church going to a mission field. There are instances in which they try to help build a building or hold medical clinics, and they have been greatly helpful to the missionary. In our church, we support nearly 120 missionaries. They are to go and plant local churches by canvassing areas, and then after leading people to Jesus Christ, they baptize them, and then follow it up with teaching them the word and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. Well, that's what Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 instructs us to do, and that is missions. Now, you ask, have I ever had a black family in my home or a poor family? And it's funny to me that you would ask that question. I have had black families in my home, and I've had poor families in my home, and sometimes I felt like I was the poorest man in the house when the poor families were in my home. But isn't it interesting that on the political front, and I'm not accusing you of this and when I'm making this statement, but it's rather an illustration or an observation, but why is it that race hatred is so abominable to most folks, which I also think it is? For an example, it's very horrible what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust and the way so much of the world continues to hate the Jew. And so, you know, we do not accept that kind of race hatred. But then they think class hatred is acceptable, as in the hatred of Wall Street or the rich. Now, I'm not Wall Street or the rich, and if you know me, you know that quite well. And you mentioned the people at Vanderbilt, Cambridge, and Harvard. I do expect the people there to think of us as a bunch of yapping whatever. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They can only think in philosophies, not absolutes. They're taught that there are no absolutes, so they can't think that way. So they actually lack the capacity to understand. Now, these young people have great learning, but they have also a great lack of understanding. So all we can do is ask God to use us to preach the gospel to them. Now, too often, their educational elitism has blinded their eyes to the truth, just like 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31 shows us. And there, it's kind of comical, I think, that we're told that God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and I take great comfort in that. Now, I know doctrine is right. For an example, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it lets me know that I can know, not that I can hope or have a strong maybe, but that I can know that I'm saved, that heaven is my home, that I have eternal life. See, Satan is at work. He has brought confusion into this world. That's why there are today Catholics and Protestants. Now, to be quite honest with you, I'm not either one. I'm a Baptist. Stephen, who was the Bishop of Rome in AD 250, not the Stephen of the Bible, kicked out everybody that believed like us, that believed that baptism comes after a person's salvation instead of at birth. And, oh, I tell you what, we didn't protest, we got ran out. But when you stand on the Word of God, you get ran out of a lot of places. So I'm basing my eternity on what is written in the Word as the very Holy Spirit of God reveals it to me. Now, probably the most idiotic and absolutely most ignorant statements I hear from people are those who say, oh, so you think you're right and I'm wrong. Or those who say, well, there are so many different denominations. What makes you think yours is right and theirs are wrong? Well, would I be so ignorant to base my eternity on a book I thought was wrong in any way? Would I be faithful if I thought this book was 25% wrong or that I was 25% wrong? See, Satan tries to make it about the church so people will get their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and the matter of their soul. That is why so often their questions do not involve a scripture. Rather, it involves a second-hand attack that says something against the person or the church, exalting some philosophy that some professor that's never done a day's work in his life has expounded in a classroom. Now, in my flesh, it's kind of fun to tantalize them sometimes with answers that frustrate them because they're trusting in their intellect. And when I get carried away with that, I'm wrong because I just need to stick to Bible questions. Now, I have given this answer. Normally, I just delete this thing and not give it the time of day because of the manner in which he asked it and the accusative matter. But I did it this way so that this gentleman would see what the Bible has to say to him, which I don't know if he paid attention to it or not. I don't know his heart. But I knew that there were some things there that you people as well have heard, and you like to get the answers to those things as well. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
The earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.